You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Overcoming Shortage Mentality by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Philippians, the fourth chapter and verse 19. Philippians 4, 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God, this God said, Paul said, same God who supplied for me will supply for you all your need. God sees need as one. Need is something he wants to eliminate in your life once and for all. All your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we're continuing to talk about overcoming shortage mentality. So when we talk about no shortage, overcoming shortage mentality, we're talking about this thinking and thoughts of lack. God wants you to get rid, as a Christian, he wants you to get rid of, take authority over thoughts of lack, because you're in the kingdom of God. You're his responsibility, and he's going to take care of you. Look at Deuteronomy 8th chapter, starting in verse 7. As the children of Israel, the second generation getting ready to go into the promised land, God's trying to change their mentality that is not going to be like they were in the wilderness. It's not going to be like their foreparents were in Egypt. Even though in the wilderness, they had to live day by day. God came through, but it was day by day. There was no abundance. Remember, we looked a couple weeks ago where God first started teaching them. He said, just today, get enough manna for today, and it's going to be enough for today. Go out tomorrow on Friday. You can get enough for 2 days because you're supposed to have the Sabbath. But God was showing them every day is going to be just enough. But now God said, I'm transitioning you into the promised land. Now, the promised land for the believer is this land of salvation. The promised land for the believer is coming to the kingdom of God. So Deuteronomy 8, verse 7, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. Everybody say, I live in a good land. Amen. He said, this land is a land of brooks of water, of fountains, of depths that spring out of valleys and hills. Now, what's the importance of that? He's saying before they were always crying out, we want water. We want water. Where's water? You know, we can't go any further without water. God said, now I'm bringing you to a land. You're going to have more than enough water. Brooks, fountains, depths that spring out of valleys and hills. He says it's a land of wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey. That doesn't mean much to us, but if you've been having for 40 years quail and manna, man and quail, and every now and then you try to get creative and make some male and some quanna, okay, then this would mean something to you. God said, now I'm giving you a menu. You're going to be able to pick, choose, and refuse. Glory to God. You're going to have some alternatives. Do y'all realize all that money does is give you alternatives? Amen. Amen. It just gives you options. It gives you options. If you're a certain income bracket, you can only buy so much. If you only make so much, you can only live in this kind of neighborhood. Well, all money does, and getting hooked up to the unlimited supply, is now it gives you alternatives. And God said, I'm going to give you some options. Verse 9, he says, it's the land wherein thou shalt eat without what? Without scarceness. That means without lack, without penny pinching. Amen. God wants to take you beyond that. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. It's a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest what? Dig bread. He says, so some things are just going to be there. Some things are going to flow to you. Some things you're just entitled to. He said, but some other things, if you dig for it, you can have it. Look at your neighbor and say, can you dig it? Amen. Yeah. So if you're willing to dig for it, there's certain, and don't get mad if you're not willing to dig and some other people willing to dig. To dig means to start something. To dig means to try to make something happen. To dig, it means to go beyond the ordinary. He said, out of whose hills thou may dig brass. And then he tells them, when thou art filled, if you have your paper Bible, you should have that word when underlined, square-tized, circle-ized. Those are my words. When that you are eaten in full. Not if, when. I don't care where you're in right now. If you're in the kingdom of God, if you're in a place of shortage or lack, you ought to be constantly saying, it's not going to be this way always. Amen. Amen. It's not going to, you're going, God going to take you into the land of more than, when thou hast eaten and art filled and are full, Then you shall bless the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth thee. And then he goes from verses 10 through down through 18. He says, just make sure when God bless you like that, you don't forget the one who blessed you. He said, God's going to bless you, going to give you more than enough. Just make sure you give me all the honor, give me all the praise, and don't start smelling yourself, but realize it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. But God wants to take you beyond scarceness. Amen. Go to 1 Samuel 30. In 1 Samuel 30, this is in the context, is that the Amalekites had come into Ziklag. They had burned the camp. So they burned their possessions. And they kidnapped the wives and the children. And David asked God, God, shall I pursue? The Lord said, pursue. Go after them. Which is interesting. Remember, I was teaching about this one time. And I said, a lot of times when you lose things, we automatically assume that we're supposed to go back and try to get it. But he said, shall I pursue? Which means there was the option of maybe you don't want me to go after that. You got to know when God wants you to go after something. And when the Lord tells you, just let that go. I got something better for you. Amen. Amen. And you got to be able to discern that by the Spirit of God. Everything you lose, you're not supposed to pursue. Amen. My plan when I got fired was to pursue another job. And the Lord told me, don't pursue another job. Amen. So he asked God, shall I pursue? Now, some things you're not going to recover unless you pursue. Amen. And so drop down to verse 18, 1 Samuel 30. And David, he had after pursued, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. I try to go over that for the brothers who got some issues with having one woman. That's the Old Testament. I don't have time going through all that. But you get one now. Okay, all the brothers say one and done. That's the will of God for y'all. One and done. One and done. Okay, he rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them. There was what? Nothing. No thing lacking to them. Now look at this. Neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil. So now watch this. He went and recovered. That means he got back everything the devil had stolen from him. But then he also says he got spoiled. Spoil is stuff that wasn't ours, but we're going to take it now because you messed with us. There's something God's going to give you because the devil messed with you. Glory to God. I told you, when you come out of battles, don't just be so, oh, I'm so glad I'm out. Glory to God. Some of us, we are ready for nothing. But listen, let's not just get out. Let's claim some spoils for the battles we've gone through. Come on now. Come on, raise your hand to the Lord. Say, I claim my spoils from every battle I've gone through in 2016. I will get my spoils. Amen. I believe we're going to recover, but I believe there's some spoils. Spoils is what they call in legal terms and tort liability and stuff. They call it punitive damages. Not only are we getting recovered, we're going to punish you for doing this. God said he will give us compensatory damages. The righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. And so they got their children back, they got their property back, but they also got spoils. And then it goes on to say, neither anything nor anything that they had taken them. David recovered some. Come on, David recovered what? Say, I'm going to get it all. Now, I want y'all to understand this because it's a recurring theme. I'm going to say a couple times today. You can have it all in the kingdom of God. Y'all are here with that. I said you can have it all. You may not get it all at one time, but by the time you leave this earth, you can have it all. The Bible says about Abraham, it says, you know, from the time we get introduced to Abraham in the scriptures in Genesis, the 12th chapter, he's about 75 years old. And then and then for the rest of his life, it's about another 75 years. So we see him like the second portion of his life from 75. But by the time Abraham died, the Bible says, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Because God told him when he introduced himself to him, he said, I will bless you. I'll make your name great. And by the time he left this earth, the earth realm, God had blessed him in all things. Say this, say, by the time I leave here, I'll be blessed in all things. Amen. David recovered all. Go to Nehemiah, the 9th chapter. And Nehemiah is now reminding this generation now who have been in captivity. They're rebuilding the walls. And then he reminds them what God did for their foreparents back in Egypt and how he brought them and sustained them throughout the wilderness. Nehemiah 9, verse 21. And Nehemiah says, yea, 40 years did thou sustain them in the wilderness. 40 years you took care of them in the wilderness. 40 years he kept you in the hood. When I say he kept you, what I'm talking about, meaning I'm not mean he made you stay there, meaning he protected you while the bullets was flying. Come on now. He sustained you in the wilderness. Have you ever come out of something and you look back and say, I don't know how I made it through that? You know why? That's because God sustained you in the midst of a place that would take other people out. He sustained you. Sustained me. He kept you alive. He kept you going. He kept you afloat. He kept you going when it looked like you should have given up. He kept you alive when the devil tried to kill you. It's God that sustained you. He sustained you for 40 years. So they lacked what? Nothing. 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years having to every day get water, every day get quail, every day get manna, but God showed up every day. 40 years he sustained them, and then he says, and their clothes wax not old. Their clothes, and not, now it's a couple reasons why the clothes didn't wax old. The clothes didn't wax old, it simply didn't mean they didn't go out of fashion, you know what I'm saying? Because they didn't have Vogue magazine, GQ and Esquire and stuff. So you know, because you, see, if you had GQ and could get online, you'd be like, man, this ain't nobody wearing this no more. For 40 years you sustained them, their clothes wax not old. Now, this is saying that the clothes didn't wear out. Glory to God. Some of y'all think you got, you know, some of y'all so blessed. My wife is blessed. She just, you know, and so, you know, come March, she changed her whole closet, y'all. Like, the winter clothes, they go in hibernation somewhere, another side of the house, and then all the spring stuff come out. Okay? You know, in the wilderness, God kept him with the clothes for 40 years. With that, watch this. He didn't let a moth eat it. He sustained them. Have y'all been through periods in your life? Man, God has sustained me. Some of y'all, with the salary you've been making, there's no way you should still be afloat. But God has sustained you. Raising those kids by yourself, and yet they've never gone hungry. God has sustained you. My God, that car looked like it shouldn't run. In some kind of way, it's still bringing you to church. Come on. God is sustaining you. I know you're not where you want to be and have everything, but you ought to give God praise just for sustaining you. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, he's sustaining me. No, I don't have new this. I don't have new that. And it ain't my shopping time yet, but he's sustaining me. He sustained them. Now, their clothes waxed not old and their feet didn't swell. So this is saying, look at this. This is saying God fed them, God clothed them, and God kept them healthy. What more do you really need? He supplied all the need. He fed them, he clothed them, and he kept them healthy. For 40 years while they traveling through the wilderness, their feet didn't swell. Some of y'all can't stand up 10 minutes from praise and worship without your feet swelling. Don't tell, I need some Epsom salt. Okay? Need some Ben Gay. 40 years the feet didn't swell. No arthritis. God sustained them. So God wants to totally eliminate and annihilate shortage in your life. Say that. Say, God, I thank you for totally eliminating and annihilating shortage and lack in my life. Look, Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, happy, envied, fortunate is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want and lack, especially in the Psalms and the Old Testament, are used interchangeable words. There's no lack. There's no want to them that fear him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. That's not a funeral scripture. That's a provision scripture. Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints, for there's no want, no lack for them that fear him. He says, now you need to understand, the young lions do lack. Now, see, when I read that, I can't help but think about the Lion King. The young lions do lack. You know, Mufasa. Okay. The king of the jungle. Now, what everybody knows, it's the king of the jungle. If nobody else eat, the lion going to eat. You know, you see, the lion can walk over there. It could be a whole bunch of hyenas. And they didn't nibble. But the lion can walk over there. Now, the hyenas going back because they know. Even if it was our food, it ain't our food no more. The young lions do that. So the king of the jungle is going to eat. His family going to eat. And God said, but before I let you lack, the king of the jungle's cubs will lack. Glory to God. Y'all see that? God's trying to give you a picture of his provision. The young lions do lack, will even suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord, that means to honor the Lord, to trust the Lord, to obey the Lord, shall not want or lack any what? Any good thing. Psalms 115. I'm building my case here. Psalms 115, verse 12. The other reason why you're not going to lack is because God has you on his mind. Now, generally speaking, we usually do it. I just didn't feel like doing it this year. But on Christmas, I'll call relatives who I ain't talked to in a year, 2 years, and old friends, old pastors. I just call them out the blue. Any y'all ever do that to people? Y'all just some mean. Y'all ain't. I ain't thinking about nobody. Well, I would do that. You know what I'm saying? I just didn't do it this year. I just wasn't, you know, I just really wasn't feeling like it. And I called, Christmas was Sunday. I called the people on Monday and said, Merry Christmas. I just want to let, before Christmas season left, just want to say Merry Christmas. I called them up on Monday. But many times, if someone calls you who you haven't talked to in a long time, or maybe even years, what made them call you is the fact that they were mindful of you. And it makes you feel special. Wow. You know, I know you're busy. I know, you know, some of y'all, I've seen people in our church, you know, many times, sometimes people are sick or going through a healing, whatever. And I'll just pick up the phone. I'll see a message, somebody going through something. I'll pick up the phone. I'll just call, and you know, some of y'all, you may just join the church. I just know a name, can't even put the faces together with names yet. But I'll just call and say, hey, how you doing? This, I just called, pray for this Pastor Bailey. And someone, Pastor Bailey. Oh, that's so nice. Because you were just so blessed that Pastor Bailey was mindful of you. Am I right? How much more should you not be honored and rejoice in the fact that God is mindful of you? Okay? Of all the people that are on the earth, God is mindful of you. Of all that he has to do, God is mindful of you. That means he has you on his mind. Say that. Say, God has me on his mind. So the Lord is mindful of us, and because he's mindful of us, God can't think about his children without doing something for his children. He will bless us. Not he might bless us. He will bless us because you are on God's mind. He will bless you. He will bless. Come on now. Let's see how well y'all been taught here in the right direction. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless the house of Bailey. Will he bless any other houses? You better put your house in there. The reason why he's giving these examples, he's trying to tell you, you better put your house in there. The Lord is mine. He'll bless us. He will bless us. That's all of us. He'll bless the house of Israel. He'll bless the house of Aaron. He'll bless the house of Bailey. And he'll bless the house of... You got to know God will bless your house. When he says bless your house, it's not talking about your residence, your address. It's talking about your family. Because of you, God will bless your whole family. He's mindful of you. How much, and then it goes on to say, how much will he bless you? He will bless them that fear him, both small and great, no matter where you start. See, this blesses me. He will bless them that fear him, both small and great, no matter what your income is right now, God can still bless you. Whether you got a low income or high income, no matter where you came into the kingdom of God, if you came into the kingdom of God as a billionaire, God can make you a multi-billionaire. Glory to God. He will bless them both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more. You
You.
Amen.
You.
Amen.
So he wants to bless you. He wants to bless your children. Now, y'all got to remember that, because you can't be going around with the Peruvian weave on and everything, sister, and then your children looking like Feed the Children. Looking like an ad for some charity on television. It ain't right. Hunt your neighbor. Say, it ain't right. God said he will increase you more and more, you and your children. Amen. Some of y'all new here, but some of y'all heard me say this years ago. The Lord blessed me, I was just buying shoes. I'm buying shoes and buying shoes. And my son Daniel, to this day, when he buys his own shoes now, Daniel would just save his money and buy sneakers. But back in the day, he couldn't save his money, and he always wanted some new sneakers. And I didn't buy sneakers like that. I got four kids. You don't need all these sneakers. And I grew up with three pairs of shoes. Okay. Y'all know, we had school shoes, we had church shoes, and we had play shoes. Was in your race like that? That's what we had. We had three pairs of shoes. We had school shoes, we had church shoes, and we had play shoes. And play shoes was just last year's school shoes. Uh-huh. And when you came home from school, you thought you're going outside and play. You better take those shoes off. Because those are school shoes. And so I had to renew my mind on this. And so, so Daniel would come, Dad, can I have another pair of sneakers? I said, boy, look, ain't nothing wrong with those. Well, ain't nothing wrong with the ones you got. I mean, ain't like anything wrong with them. If there's something wrong with it, if you needed something. I looked outside, and Daniel was outside on the sidewalk, and he had those things. He was doing like this. He said, there's got to be something wrong with it. I can make something wrong with him. And my wife, one day, she helped me. She said, honey, look, all these shoes you get, the money you spend for these shoes, now you should buy the kids some more shoes, because, it ain't right for you to have all these shoes and the kids not have shoes. And then I thought she was just trying to steal all my money. And then I read the scripture where it says the Lord will increase you more and more, you. So listen. So as God blesses you, nothing wrong with blessing your children. I really want y'all to understand that. Because a lot of us, we have some based upon how we've been raised, we have a problem with that. Because our parents didn't know this scripture. Our parents told us, I got mine, you get yours. Nobody helped me. Well, wouldn't you like somebody to help you? Okay? So understand, it's all right for you to bless your children. As a matter of fact, because you bless your children, ought to be automatically blessed. Amen. I need to ease up with this message. Kendra here tonight. Jesus. I don't want her to get too much word in here. Psalm 71 verse 21. The Lord shall increase. So God wants to increase you. He wants to eliminate lack, misfortune, insufficiency out of your life. Psalm 71 verse 21. The Lord shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. You can have it all. The Lord shall increase my greatness. In this stage, in this age where everybody on Facebook trying to make themselves great and make themselves look great, you got to understand, stop trying to make yourself great and let God make you great. Amen. Because if God makes you great, he will sustain you in your greatness. You make yourself great, you're going to have to try to make yourself stay great. But if God does it, then it's his responsibility. I was around Bishop Jakes, and he was saying something. He was talking about the difference between his generation, which would be basically kind of my generation, about a couple of years anyway, our generation and the younger generation. He said back in the day, if we ever saw somebody great, have a chance to be around him, we would say, listen, can I talk to you for a minute? Can I ask you a question? Today, you meet somebody, you think they're great, you say, can I take a picture with you? Because, see, you think if you take a picture with them, that'll make you look great too. So then you put it on Facebook, hanging out with my boy Jay-Z. No, you just happen to run into Jay-Z and he lets you take a picture. That don't make you great. Now, if you get what's in Jay-Z's mind, that could potentially make you great. See, that's the difference between taking a picture and asking a question. I'm just trying to help somebody.
There may be times when it seems that you just don't have enough for your financial obligations. Could it be that you do have the finances, but you may be afraid that you won't have anything left? Dr. Herbert Bailey helps you to examine your thoughts to overcome shortage mentality in this four-part series. Order today for your love gift of $20 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE. Or go online to writedirection.info. Ask for Overcoming Shortage Mentality.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.